How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Church bulletins, that's why we don't have one. Too many mistakes get made. Pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, "Break forth into joy." How do you live that one down? Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. So one little phrase can really mess up the meaning, can't it? Thursday night, potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double doors at the side entrance. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement Friday at 7 p.m. Congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday. Please use the back door. That's really bad. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around your house. And don't forget your husband. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. Now, I want you to get that straight. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. You know, somebody should really publish a whole book of these. I've got a few from my own experience that I should tell you about, but not now. Okay. All seriousness aside. Okay. Our subject has been the Lord's anointing that is our anointing. And we've been covering the six purposes of anointing that He enunciated, and I don't want to take time to repeat the details. In the synagogue, He stood and He read out of the 61st chapter of Isaiah when He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Luke. This is a part of the passage where He's standing in front of the synagogue and He's quoting out of the, He's reading out of the out of Isaiah 61, which is almost word for word what we have here in Luke. And the amazing thing is that after He finished reading, He sat down in the chair in the synagogue that was reserved for centuries. Every synagogue had one. It was reserved for the Messiah when He would come. And when He finished reading this, He went over and He sat down in this chair, reserved for the Messiah. And the scripture says, and every eye was fastened upon Him. And then He said, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," saying, the Messiah here. And in this annunciation, He outlined the anointing. Number one, it was to preach the gospel to the meek, to the poor. And it was to heal brokenhearted. And the anointing that was upon Him was to preach deliverance to the captives and to preach the recovering of sight to the blind. And what we've done is we've spent a Sunday on each of these, and today our subject is to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then the final one is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So today our subject is setting at liberty them that are bruised. So, I would really like to probably turn over the first section here to Dr. Shirley, because he knows this stuff. And I'm, to say junior at this subject would be flattering. I'm less than that. But I understand there are three types of bruises. We're on page 2 of your notes now. There are three types of physical bruises. Some of these words I can't even pronounce. But subcutaneous is a bruise that's beneath the skin. Most of us have had experience with this kind of a bruise. Well, think about a bruise. Probably the most outstanding symptom of a bruise. It's not always its color, because sometimes it's so deep you can't see the color. It is the extreme sensitivity. It is the pain associated. Touch the bruise and it lights up like a light bulb. Second kind of physical bruise is intramuscular, which is a bruise within the belly of the underlying muscle. And so this is deeper than one that's beneath the skin. And then probably the worst kind of bruise that physically that one can experience, and help me with this pronouncing this, periosteal, is a bruise of the bone. Now, bruises is where the blood vessels burst because of injury, usually, but not always, and cause bleeding within. And they vary in length of time from days to months, with the bone bruise being the most severe and painful. Now, the causes of physical bruises is usually just some kind of an injury is usually the cause of a bruise. It could be a fall down the stairs, over the curb. Sports injuries are a major cause of bruising. And car accidents. Almost everybody you see that comes out of a car accident is bruised. And then blows received by other people or objects causes bruising. Now, it is a fact, and I'm laying an analogy groundwork here, that some people bruise easier than others. And I want you to remember this point when we get to the subject in a moment of who are the bruised that the Lord is sending us to, that they need to be brought into liberty. In fact, listen to the command once again. Anointing is given to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, what on earth has liberty got to do with a bruised person? It would be easy to understand if the Lord said, go heal those who are bruised. Go pray for those that are bruised. Go lay hands on those that are bruised. Or go and treat delicately those that are bruised. But the amazing anointing and the amazing truth of this anointing is that what the bruised people need is to be set at liberty. And by the time we finish this morning, that's what I want you to learn. In addition, how can you and I set at liberty those that are bruised? Some bruises get infected. You can imagine the increase pain and suffering and trauma of an infected bruise. Some people bruise spontaneously. This is another thing I want you to remember. And this is a very dangerous medical condition where there is no external cause. And if that ever occurs, you want to get to medical attention extremely fast. Some people perpetuate their wound. In other words, you can have a bruise, and if you don't protect it, stay off of it, and nurture it and respond to the pain properly, you can damage it further. And so there are people who perpetuate the bruise. Look at Scripture. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable? Why does it refuse to be healed? We're going to learn the answers to that in a moment. Well, who are these people that are bruised that the Lord sends us to? And what do we do when we get to somebody who is bruised? First of all, we've got to learn to identify them. So let's talk about these people that are bruised. Those who are bruised by a fall, a failure. There are people in life who have been bruised. Now, remember, we already learned how to bind up the brokenhearted. This is a different scenario. But there are people who have had a past failure that the wound of that fall has left them painfully damaged, bruised. Psalmist said, I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. There's a lot of stuff happens in life, some of it incidentally, never planned, but there are people who fail. Then there are those who are bruised by an accident, a tragedy, or a circumstance that has happened to them in their life. And we're going to see in a few moments how important it is to learn how to respond to an injury. Not responding properly to injury leads to further damage. And sometimes irreparable damage. But there are those who have experienced the loss of a loved one. In Katrina, there's a lot of bruised people. They lost their homes, everything in their home. They came back to a lot that was covered with debris, and the debris was their valuables. And they are hurting people. They're bruised. One family that we helped lost their house in Katrina. And then they were able to rebuild it. And they got it rebuilt. And 2 weeks later, it burned to the ground. And our friend Bill was there and networked with a whole lot of others. Faced with people who are deeply bruised, wounded by a circumstance of life. How do you start over? And then after you've started over, have it taken away within weeks and have to start over again? How do you do that? What is the effect on your person? What happens to a person who is damaged by circumstances like that? And Bill made contact with an organization. And they trucked in all the materials. And the whole team got together. In 1 week, they built the house again. Amen. You see, there's a lot of damaged people. Human wreckage is piling up fast. You'll see in a few moments when we get a little further into this, the damage is all around us. Bruised people are everywhere. And some of the bruising is self-inflicted, as you'll see. Some people are bruised by a disappointment. They had an expectation that was not met. Somebody let them down. Somebody was disloyal to them. Somebody was not watching out for them that should have been. Someone made promises and didn't keep the promises. And this causes bruising. Injury. And then there are those who, like in the physical analogy, have spontaneous injury. I haven't got it worded right here. They are oversensitive and they get bruised when normal people wouldn't, but they are extra sensitive. And they haven't learned, because it's like this, friends. Everything should not cause bruising, but with some people, the least little thing causes a bruise. A hurt. You might say something to them and never intended any injury by it whatsoever. But they take it the wrong way and they get hurt. That happens a lot in close-in relationships. It's kind of a combination between expecting your spouse or someone close to you to treat you differently, and you got the bruising that comes from the disappointment. But there's an aspect where we can become so sensitive that everything bruises us and it shouldn't. Woe is me. For my hurt, my wound is grievous. And I said, truly this is a grief. But watch this now. This group of people have not learned to bear it. And there is a sense in which we must learn to take things without getting bruised so easily by them. And then there's bruising that's caused by self-damage. I'm going to spend a few moments on this. Hurt. It's caused by one's own doing. So let's look at a few scriptures about this. Men groan from out of the city. The soul of the wounded cries out. But God doesn't ascribe folly to them. It's not that they've gone astray in a particular way. Well, actually they had. No, watch here. Because they are those that rebel against the light. So there's self-inflicted wounds done by those who rebel against the light. There are the instructions that are wise and godly, but they, look at this, they know not the ways thereof. And it's not enough to know the ways, but they have to abide in the paths thereof. And there are people who are wounded because of their refusal to follow the light. Then there's another kind of self-damage. It's called foolishness. My wounds stink and corrupt and are corrupt because of my foolishness. So the first cause of self-damage is not walking in the light. The second cause of self-damage is foolishness. My wounds are corrupt because of my foolishness. And then, wickedness causes self-damage. There is no healing of your bruise. Why won't the bruise heal? Your wound is grievous. In fact, it's so bad that all that hear the bruit of thee shall clap their hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continuously? And this person doesn't know that what they're doing and their wickedness is damaging themselves. And then adultery is a very wounding experience. Whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. Don't ever underestimate the accuracy of the Word of God. If he says that adultery damages the soul of the person who commits it, then you can take that to the bank. The damage that's caused. Now watch this. A wound and dishonor shall he get. This wound and this dishonor is so bad that his reproach shall not be wiped away. Can't just. Now, the Lord has a way of helping that person recover, but make no mistake, there's a self-damage that occurs by committing adultery. And then, here's another source of wound. Who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contention? Who has babbling? Look at this. Who has wounds without a cause? They that tarry long at the wine, alcohol, drug addiction, cause wounds. And then the last group of people that we are called to help is those being struck by someone else. And in America, this is very commonplace. Our form of violence is a little more tame than it is in Iraq and some other places of the world. But it is nevertheless cruel. Nonetheless cruel. Being struck by someone else. Let's look at a couple of these from the scriptures. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. When someone speaks about you or against you to others and you discover it, it goes down in the innermost part of your belly and it causes a wound. A talebearer is none other than someone who doesn't tell the truth or tells the truth to someone who should not be privy to the truth. Well, let me take a look at this. Watch this for a moment here. Because I want you to get this first part. Words. Words cause wounds. Wrong words cause wounds. Have you ever been wounded by words? They are one of the most cruel forms of striking a person that there is. That person may not reach out and slap you across the face with their hand and leave the imprint of their fingers and nails on your face. But they can see that would be much easier to handle than words. They go down in the innermost parts of the belly and they cause wounds and bruising that some people never recover from. Now, there's a lot going on in America today, and well, it should, about the subject of child abuse. But most of the articles you read and the legislation you see doesn't cover this. They cover sexual abuse and physical abuse, and battering, and they should. But when a child is subjected to unfit words, unloving words, bruises take place. And some of them never recover from it. Because the words go down inside the belly. The wound of words strikes to the spirit, gets to the heart, damages the interior. And who can fix that? Well, we know the right answer to that. We know that Jesus can fix anything, but will your child, will that child ever get to somebody who knows enough about Jesus to say the right words to him that will heal him? Because words can heal as well as damage. Words can damage a business relationship. Words can damage a marriage. There are certain words in our marriage that we have agreed never to use with each other. In fact, this week, certain words came up this week that I'm not supposed to use, shouldn't use towards anybody except her. That was cool too. I agree. So it was a good thing. The words of a man to his wife are the mechanism by which God intends him as a husbandman, a keeper of the garden. That's what his wife is. She's a plant. He's the keeper of the plant. Words are how you water. Words are how you bring health. Words are how you fertilize. Words are how you bless. Vice versa. Words of a wife to a husband can damage. I don't want you to miss this. Because being struck by somebody else through words is a very bruising experience. And God cares about the bruised. He wants to do something. He's anointed to fix the bruised. And he passes that anointing on to you, and that's why you and I must learn how
to fix the bruise. Deal with the bruise. Help the bruise. But words can strike.
A wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his physical wound. But a wounded spirit, and words reach spirit. Words are spirit. And then in the Song of Solomon, in this particular case, this lover was looking for her husband and he came across the watchmen and they sexually abused her. The watchmen that went about the city found me. These are supposed to be the keepers of the city. They smote me. They wounded me. And the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. They unclothed her. This is a serious striking. It causes, in some cases, a broken heart, but it always causes bruising. A wound that, if not properly cared about, lasts a long time. And then there's another kind of being struck by someone. And I would call this one disloyalty. Now, I know this is a prophetic verse referring to our Lord, but why don't you take a look at it. What are these wounds in thine hands? How did you get wounded? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. There is no worse wounding than being wounded by someone close. Do you understand that? Like to have some guy down the streets hurl an insult at you is one thing, but to have your husband do it is another. To be wounded by someone who's supposedly your friend, somebody who's supposed to watch out for you, that betrayal, that disloyalty, the damage from that is more intense. Well, let me just bring another subject into this for a moment. Because if you were to go to Malachi chapter 2, you would discover, in fact, let's go to it. Sorry, I didn't start the program, but let me just quote it for you. In Malachi chapter 2, the Lord is wroth to the point where he's not willing to answer their prayers, even though the people that are praying are crying. And they ask him, what's wrong? We weep at your altars and you don't hear us. And God says, because you have dealt treacherously with your wife. Two verses later, you cover yourself, you cover your violence with a garment. But I, the Lord thy God, hate putting away, hate divorce. Here's what I want to get to. According to this passage, divorce is one of the most violent acts one can do. And Jesus, God puts it this way. You put a cloak over it. And you say, well, it's better for the kids if we split up. I can't think of a sanctified word to apply to that. Buoy. Is that okay? Is that sanctified? I don't know if that's sanctified. We cover the violence with a cloak. And we have got all kinds of psychologists today, counselors in the multitudes of thousands in America, giving advice to people contrary to the Word of God, that say, it's okay, it's better to do this, it's better for both of you, go get a life and you'll both be happier. And God says, wrong. It's a violence. And this kind of violence bruises. It might break a heart, too. And now you got a person who's not only bruised, but a broken heart. But this bruising is severe. And some people don't recover from it. I suggest to you this morning that as we learn that this anointing is ours, God's going to send us, you're going to have contact with people whose spouse has divorced them, or they divorced the spouse. And you cannot treat them with an informed way. You cannot treat them not knowing that divorce has bruised them. You're dealing with a bruised person. You have to treat a bruised person differently than someone who had no hurt, had no wound. And my friends, we must master this. We must master how to walk in this anointing and set at liberty those that are bruised. Okay, now watch this. Why? Here we come to the crux of what I want you to get today. Why do the bruised need liberty? The command or the statement of the Lord is, He's anointed me to set at liberty those that are bruised. What has liberty got to do with being bruised? So, I want you to, I'll give you a moment to draw these two figures here, and you can tell I'm not much of an artist. But here, and it's not a him and a her necessarily, although it could be if you want to put a skirt on one of them, that would be fine. It's one of the purposes of clothing is to identify gender. Anyhow, another subject. Now here's what happens. A person offends. Whatever it is. Could be word. Could be deed. That anybody could be anybody. And they offend you. And this offend causes a wound. This yellow circle here, this is the wound. In fact, let me make it more clearly so you can see the wound. This is where the bruising takes place. Because somebody, through whatever mechanism, hurt you, injured you, damaged you, mocked you, bad-mouthed you, cursed you, you name it. Whatever it is, however severe this was, it created a wound. Now, watch. Because a wrong reaction to a wound, if you don't treat the wound right when you get it, you react wrongly to the wound, the pain will increase, and something more devastating occurs. So I want you to get a couple of 3 points here. A wrong reaction will perpetuate the wound. Make the wound, it ought to heal. But if you react wrongly to the wound, it will stay longer. If you don't get the kind of medical help or give it the kind of care, that bruise will take longer. If you banged your hip and got a big bruise on your hip and you don't watch or don't have clearance lights or something and you bump into another piece of furniture with your hip again on the same bruise, You don't look after that spot and you redo it. All right? Now, a wrong response to being wounded lengthens the wound. And in fact, I want to suggest to you that bruising can last a lifetime. Never heal. Start to heal and something aggravates it again and aggravates it again, and it's perpetual. Because, my friends, wounds should just heal. But a wrong response will make them last longer. And a wrong reaction creates a bondage. And now watch the diagram briefly with me for a moment. Because what happens here is, watch here. Problem number one is the wound. But now you got this. Problem number two. And so this wrong reaction creates an enslavement, a bondage. Let me illustrate it. When somebody wounds you and you resent what they did. Now watch this. Let me just clear the screen here, get myself a little space. Most of you learned this before. Resentment. This word sent comes from the French verb sentir, which means to feel. Resentment is you re-sentir. You re-feel. You re-feel this wound over and over and over again. That's why it perpetuates the wound. Resentment comes from bitterness. Bitterness is a wrong response to being wounded. Bitterness empowers the wounder over you. The wound that they gave you would have healed, but a wrong response causes the wound to have duration. There are people who had incidents happen to them when they were 22 years old and are around 50, and they can tell you the pain is clearly at the age of 50. 30, so almost 30 years later, it's as vivid, it's as clear, and it's as painful 50 years later as it was when it occurred. Now, why didn't the wound heal? Why didn't it go away? Because a wrong response perpetuates the wound. It creates an enslavement to the wounder as well as the wound. It's almost like an addiction. Every time you know, if somebody, is there anybody here named Mary? No. Good. If somebody named Mary did you bad 20 years ago, 20 years later, when you meet somebody with the name Mary, guess what happens? Click. Goes right to that point, doesn't it? Oh, so some of you do know Mary. Things bring it back, because it never healed. It's a wound still bleeding. It's a bruise still infected. And it creates this bondage here. And your resentment towards that person and your anger towards them and your bitterness towards them creates this bondage. And this bondage is long term. It not only keeps the wound open, but it keeps it open a long time. Here's the question. How long does a wrong response keep the wound open? answer until you get the right response. The wound will always be there. The bruising will always be there until we respond God's way. All right. Now watch. Because I'm at the critical mass. I'm at the critical moment. I want you to grasp this. When God says, I want you to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now this is the bruised person here. To set them at liberty means helping them get over this so that this can heal. Because this bondage is what's keeping the wound open. Are you all with me on the same page here? You all understanding this? Okay. So, how are we going to set at liberty those that are bruised? How are we going to do that? Well, obviously the first step is to understand that they've got two problems. They've got the bruise, but they've got this other aura. They've got this other dimension. They've got this other spiritual phenomena that is holding them captive. The man who has a fight with his mother-in-law is bitter towards her. He's driving down the road. No. He gets in an airplane. He flies to France for a holiday vacation. And he gets in his rental car and he's driving towards the Louvre. Who's in the car beside him? The mother-in-law. You see, you can't get away from it. It's unresolved stuff. So, how to set at liberty them that are bruised? Let me just pause for a moment because there probably isn't a person in this room who's never been bruised. And I want to say to you that it's really important you get healed. That you get liberty over a wrong reaction that has perpetuated the bruise. There are probably several in this room who as children were bruised. Maybe both physically and spiritually. Maybe your father, your mother did not treat you with sensitivity and dignity. And you might be here today with same wound. And it affects how you treat people around you. In fact, when you're bruised and someone just touches the bruise, maybe people can't even speak to you about stuff because it's like too sensitive. Because you never got over the wound. There is no indignity attached to having been wounded. Rather, what is necessary is that we understand that we've been held captive by wrong reaction to it, that we need to get set free so this thing can go away. So, how do you set at liberty the bruise? This is not point one on your notes, by the way. This is above point one. We're going to come to point one in a moment. But we must teach them God's way to responding to hurt. You're going to have to draw the diagram for them. and explained to them they got two problems. So how do we teach them God's way of responding to hurt? Number one, you just show them how wrong responses perpetuate the wound. You need to show them that. Let them understand it. Let them see it. Because you cannot set at liberty somebody in captive who doesn't even know they're captive or how they're being held captive. So you need to draw this diagram for them. And then secondly, you need to teach them God's way of responding to injury. God's way of responding to wounds. God's way of responding to the bruising you took. So, that's what we want to learn. We want to learn that the wounded need to respond back to the wounder, the offender. Not by bitterness, anger, resentment, retaliation, revenge, but rather with a right response. And there are benefits of a right response. But before I show you the main benefit of the right response, let me show you some of the scriptures of what a right response is. Okay? Number one. You have heard it said that you should love those who are neighborly to you, but hate your enemy. Now, watch this now. Out there in the world, you will be taught that hate, which demonstrates itself in retaliation or get even or launch back at this person, is a right response. That you are justified in doing that. You have heard it said that a wrong response is okay. But I say unto you, number one, love your enemy. I say unto you, number two, lest them that curse you. I say unto you, number three, do good to them that hate you. And I say unto you, number four, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Here is Jesus defining the right response. These people who went into the bondage of a wrong response didn't learn what you're about to tell them. Now there's one more. Forgive them. Because if you forgive them what they have done against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. So, in short terms, let me get you right to the point. There are five essentials to the right response. Number one, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. The right response to the people who hurt you is love. Is to choose what is best for them. Secondly, if they have cursed you, bless them. It is an essential response. And thirdly, do good to them. That means do good works. Those who are studying Let your light so shine this week, our fourth command. I've got this down. The importance of doing good works. Not to this, just not to your family alone, and not just to people that are your neighbor or neighborly, but to your enemies. Do good. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Now, when you pray for them, that doesn't mean, oh, God, get them. Oh, God, that's not praying for your enemy. What you want to do is find out what his needs are and pray that God will meet his needs. That's what we do with our enemies. That's what we do. Because you see, we walk a different path. We have a different master. You pray for them. Because you know what? Watch this now. In all probability, this person has got wounds that came from somebody else. What are their needs? Where do they hurt? And this is Jesus' way. And then forgive. I haven't got time to go into the details of that, but if you haven't, go to the website, nothingbutthetruth.us, and watch 7 aspects of genuine forgiveness. Fits right in here. Forgive them. Forgiveness neutralizes the power of the other person over you. Forgiveness neutralizes the power of the offender over you. You will be free. So, what does it take to set at liberty them that are bruised? It means instructing them about the captivity that they are in. The captivity of bitterness, of resentment, of unforgiveness, of anger. Oh, of anger. Anger. How do you quench anger? And we've got all kinds of plans. Court orders people to go to anger management. Well, that's a good thing, but you know what? Management of anger is not good enough. God tells us how to get rid of anger, how to put it away. And the secret to getting rid of anger, in one sentence, is to forgive those who have done evil to you. Forgive them. You write the check. You pay the debt. They don't owe you anymore. Forgiveness leads to no propensity towards retaliation or revenge or lashing back or getting even. Forgive. Now, here's what God says will happen. If we will learn to help people out of the captivity that came from a wrong response to their anger or to their wound. I want you to get that phrase. We are helping people out of the captivity that comes from a wrong reaction to the wound they got. Here's what God says. I will restore health to thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Now, I need you to watch the screen really close. And I want you to zoom in on the wound for a moment. Because when you practice these five essentials, look what happens to the wound. It gets small, it heals until it's gone. Now watch, let me give you one more insight from Scripture. Look at what Jesus promised you. Nothing shall hurt you. What does that mean? Well, before, when you were offended, you got a wound. But when we practice these five essentials of the right response to wounds, you get to where it happens so quickly that the wound never really occurs. Watch this now. This offense still occurs, but you respond so quickly that the offense doesn't have the power to take you out in any manner whatsoever. And so we want to help people live this way, where they rise above all the injuries, but not just the injuries, but all the offenses. Let me close with one scripture, and I don't have it on my screen. It's Psalm 119, verse, I believe, 165. Great peace of they which love thy law. Listen to this. Nothing shall offend. God intends us to heal, to recover from our wounds. And not only so, but He intends us to learn to live these five automatic responses to everything that occurs so that we don't get wounded over and over and over again. Because there's enough junk coming at you, and there's enough angry words coming at you, and there's enough insults coming at you, and there's enough pointed fingers at you that you could get wounded every day several times, day after day after day. But God wants a people, and He intends to build a people, and these are His ways. Love those who are like enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that do evil to you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. This, my friends, is why those who are bruised need someone to come and set them at liberty. Liberty from a wrong reaction to wounds. Such liberty that offense is hardly noticed anymore. Nothing offends. I really think God's way is the best. Now we are anointed, set at liberty captives, or the bruised. So those that are wounded will be wounded no more. Because he's the great physician. Healer. Don't let your bruises last too long. Apply the five essentials. Bruises will go away, and you will not be in bondage or captivity. Let's pray. Thank you. The word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our feet. I first pray, Lord, for those here who have themselves been bruised and the bruising has lasted too long. I ask, Lord, that we would respond to this. Because we have much to do. We have a mission. There are other wounded that need us. And secondly, I pray that as a grouping of your body, a part of the body of Christ, that we will recognize the anointing given from you to us to set at liberty those that are bruised. As we leave this place moments from now, we won't see each other till Wednesday, then again till next Sunday, and during this time we will, in the mix, all of us come across wounded people. I ask a spirit of compassion come upon us that you have. For the scripture says of you that you looked about you with compassion. Help us to see people through your eyes, these that are bruised, so that the healing that we've received, we can set them at liberty so they can receive the same healing. I ask this anointing on this people, from the youngest to the oldest, male and female. Every person anointed to set at liberty free. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that was helpful to you today. Not just sure exactly that next Sunday holds. We've got one more to go. But it shouldn't take as long as these ones. We may do that and break into a new subject, or we may just do that next Sunday. I'm not too sure, but I look forward to it. Wednesday night, we're finishing the teaching on how to be happy according to the scriptures. 16 biblical ways to happiness. And so we'll conclude the last six this coming Wednesday night.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.